And welcome to Torch Tales. I'm Grace Dawson and I'm one of the hosts of the show. Torch Tales delves deep into the history of Torch Trust through the stories of the people who bring it to life. Share in tales of passion and faith which make our sight loss ministry possible. On today's episode, I have two guests, Carol and Brian Noakes, both of whom have been involved with Torch for many years and have a fantastic story to share. Well, Carol and Brian, thank you so much for joining me. Can you tell me about the first time that you ever heard of Torch Trust?
Wow, I think it's about 1975. And I was living in a place called Crawley Down in Sussex with my first wife, and she was the Christian and I was not the Christian. And she used to go to church, as you do, and then went to Bible study. And at Bible study, she met Mum and Dad Heath, who started Torch, became very interested and more. And that's when I first heard about Torch. And then the story goes on later, but we won't stop because that's what you asked me.
Yeah. For me, it was in the late 70s. I went to college and I went to church in Watford, and there I met Marilyn. And we became friends, and ultimately I shared her house with her for the majority of my student days. And of course it was her that talked to me about Torch, and she lent me the book The Torch Family, and I'm not particularly a reader, but I read this on a train journey from London to Coventry, and I just knew then that God had a place for me at Torch.
Oh wow, that's lovely. So I'm hoping this does sort of lead on. What were your first roles at Torch? How did you start to get involved?
Well, I arrived, and when I'd been for interviews and things at Torch, they said that I would be in the Tate Library and doing a new librarian's sort of catalogue for all the books and things, which I found a bit daunting, but you know, you have a go with whatever you're asked to do. But when I actually got to Torch, they changed their minds and I was in the Braille Library. Ooh. And in the Giant Print Library, and we dealt with Moon books, another embossed sort of book, and I was sending those out to people all over the country. So that's what I did when I first came to Torch. But I have to say, I can remember the day. It was September the 10th in 1978, and there I was, you know, first ever sort of job, if you like. It is the only one I've had, actually. But I walked into the lounge at Torch in Hallerton with a suitcase and my guitar, and there was a group of about 30 people visiting Torch House, and Mrs. Heath said to me, "Oh good, a guitar, you can play for us as we sing." That was literally my first introduction to Torch, and it was about 2.5 hours before I ever saw where I was going to sleep or anything.
Oh.
But that was Torch. Yeah, I mean, ready for anything.
Yeah, you're making me think of Maria in The Sound of Music turning up with a guitar.
Yeah, well, she's a bit more skilled than me, but thank you.
Yeah. My story is, I'd had enough of the oil company business. I was in an oil company for 25 years. I'd had enough of it, and I took the wife and two children from this place, Crawley Down, down to Cornwall. I've always loved Cornwall and Devon, down to a place called Liscard. And I bought a shop down there. And Gay was still very interested in this business of Torch Fellowship groups. And although I wasn't a Christian, I used to go around with her to all these churches and places and meet people and have another cup of tea and all this business. And it never, ever happened. And they used to sit in upstairs in the lounge at the top of this building that I had. And they did this funny stuff called praying. And I would lean against the wall and they would all pray. And there were some quite interesting people there, including the chairman of Torch was there, wouldn't he? He was there. And this went on for several months. And eventually I couldn't stand it any longer. I said, why do you people keep on doing this praying? Why don't you start it? I said, I know you can do this. I know you can do that. I know you can do that. There was an absolute silence. And I thought, what have I done? Anyway, Peter Richards from Cornwall said, why don't we why don't we start it? So they did. They started a Torch Fellowship group. And eventually when it started, I was allowed to stand outside and lead people in and sit them in the seats. And that was my job. I wasn't a Christian, but that was Torch. And that's the beginning of my story.
Oh, wow. And so did you come to Christianity through your time at Torch then?
It helped. It helped. It certainly helped. No, I actually came to Christ when I went to, what was it?
New Wine.
Yeah. And there's 7,000 people there. My wife had unfortunately died the previous year. And I was feeling pretty low and miserable. And I went round and I met a bloke who was praying with people. And I told him, you know, and he said, look, I've got a new wife as well. My wife died not too long ago. And they came round and prayed with me. Anyway, I was really put under. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. The lot. I even had tongues. It was just an enormous thing for me, which was just beautiful in many ways. But by the end of the week, I was praying with people and they would be going out in the spirit. And I was going, well, now what have I done? You know, and all this. So it was quite a serious week that I had.
Yeah. Wow, that's quite dramatic.
Though. And then you got involved with the Liscard Torch Fellowship group. And
yes, I did, yeah.
Went downhill from the doorman to the chairman, didn't you? And then you became a coordinator, didn't you, for Torch?
Yes,
well,
coordinator down there.
And was involved in starting other groups as well.
Yes.
So that's Brian's story, yeah.
Wow, that's brilliant. And Brian, just one bit more before I move on to other questions. How did you then end up, I'm guessing you came to Hallerton, is that right? How did that sort of happen?
Well, you see, my first wife died in 1993, and this other lady, Carol with Torch, used to come down to Liscard to do various things, and I think you stayed once or twice, didn't you?
Yeah, I stayed with Brian and Gay in their lovely home. So
the year I got fed up running my shop on my own from 1993 onwards, although I let other people use it, charity people, you know, Christian charities. And eventually in the year 2000, I said, why don't you come down and marry? We'll get married, you come down to Cornwall. I'm not coming to Cornwall. I said, what do you mean you're not coming to Cornwall? If you want to marry me, you've got to come up here. And I said, where? And she said, told me this place, I got black and grimy and horrible. I don't want to do that. But anyway, I married her and I came up here.
Wow.
A romantic story, isn't it? But actually, I knew, and obviously Brian knew too, that God hadn't finished with me at Torch at that stage. And Brian loved the work of Torch and the mission of Torch.
Oh, yeah.
You loved the people of Torch.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
It wasn't as big a deal as he's making out.
See, this is good to get both sides of the story.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
That's really interesting, though, because I think I'd assumed that you met at Hallerton. I didn't realise.
No. We met because of the Torch Fellowship group.
Yeah. And what was your first impression of Brian, Carol?
Well, I have to say, it's a funny thing to say, because I was very content as a single person. Mm. And I think people who knew me would validate that. And as I said, I went to Brian and Gay's because I was involved with helping with the talk at the Torch Fellowship group. And I suddenly sat in Brian's flat. And I thought, well, if I ever married anyone, I'd like it to be someone like that. It just came out of the blue. And it wasn't sort of anything untoward. You know, it was just, well, if I married anyone, I'd love it to be someone like that.
Aww.
And then, of course, about 5-6 years later, what happened?
Oh, that's really nothing.
I think God had to give me a big nudge to start with to make me ready.
Yeah, a bit of a hint.
The Lord has been absolutely incredible. I'd sold my shop and all the rest of it and got cash. And I arrived up here where I'm living now. And I said to the woman, "You're under offer, aren't you?" And she said, "Yes."
Not me.
And I said to her, "Well, I'll pay your asking figure, right? And I've got cash. What do you want to do?" So within about 5 hours, she said, "Yes." You know, so that's what started it off. And Carol liked the view from the back here. There were sheep looking through the hedge, all right? And she liked the fireplace. Now, that's important for you ladies, I know. That's what sold the thing to her. But it's been very good here, hasn't it?
It has. And it's been,
we have had so many Torch people staying here, many, many, many people. And I think they've enjoyed themselves, haven't they?
We've certainly enjoyed them being with us. It's been an open home. And
I'm shutting up now.
Oh, no, it's lovely. I never knew any of this. I'm loving hearing it. Mm-hmm. Well, my next question might be quite a big question. Aside from meeting each other, what would you say is your most memorable experience or perhaps your favourite experience from everything to do with Torch? I don't know if it's possible to pick one, but...
I've been thinking about this, and it is impossible to pick one. But I mean, there are so many facets of Torch. You know, the working at Hallerton and then subsequently Market Harborough, and that has the disciplined work of office or library or whatever. But to me, I think always meeting the people and being with the people has been very special. And at Hallerton, we used to have house parties actually at Hallerton. And so we do our work jobs as well, but we'd have a house full of extra people, probably about 30 or 40 people, all crammed in, and those of us who were staff were probably sleeping on a floor somewhere to enable people to have our beds. And that's how it was, because we were residential in those days. And many of my friends are still people who came to those house parties and that we've met through fellowship groups.
Yeah.
And in other Torch activities. And it's been brilliant to have that interaction with people that still goes on today. And I think, you know, what thrills me especially is the way God changed people's lives very dramatically at times or gently at others. And that was all through the ministry and love and obviously the books that people had from Torch, and the changed lives, I think, was something that really thrilled and excited me, as it still does today. We still read in our Torch news about people finding out about Torch, don't we, Grace? Mm-hmm. And the impact that Torch has on people's lives, and that's great.
Oh, good.
And Brian? Now, I think another part of our lives was the choir.
Oh, yes.
Were you ever around when the choir?
No, but I interviewed Jill the other day and she talked about it.
So. Oh, she would. She was our choir leader and she taught us so very, very well. Mm. But, you know, right from the beginning, I was in the Torch choir and we used to go out primarily. Well, we went out to sing, but the singing was a vehicle to telling organisations and churches about Torch. And we have lots of fun stories about those early days, because probably the majority of the choir were blind people. And I can remember once going to this place. It wasn't too far away, but I think I'd actually driven the minibus to get there. And I'd gone to the loo and taken Sheila, who's blind, and Penny, who was blind. And then we were in there, and we heard these two ladies outside saying, "There's three of them in there. Do you think they'll be all right?" Well, anyway, they proceeded to come in and propel all of us backwards until they landed us on a chair. And I was so amazed, because they just presumed that we were all blind. And I was so amazed that I said nothing. But it was a very frightening experience. So I've never pushed anyone backwards into a chair before.
That's interesting. So that's, I suppose, a little bit of an insight into some of the experiences blind people have, probably.
Sure. It taught me a lesson.
This is a bit of an unusual one. We were at Hallerton in the bus, and we had to go to a place which was about 2 miles or so away, but Carol couldn't remember how to get there. And this...
It was a bit further than that, right?
All right, it was a bit further than that. And this blind man, right,
Colin,
said, "I know the way." So he would say, "All right, out, turn left now, Carol. All right, second, not the first, but the second left, right now, now right, now left." He led us all the way exactly to where this place was.
Yes, and the key thing about that, Brian, is that Colin was totally blind.
Oh, he's totally blind.
Yeah.
He'd had traveled with his father the length and breadth of this country. We would be traveling with him on the bus, say on the 259, he'd say, "Yeah, in about half a mile, you'll be able to turn left on the so-and-so. And he was right all the time. It was amazing to be with him.
Yeah. That is truly incredible. I mean, I remember Colin a bit from when I first started at Talk.
Ah, right, yeah.
I remember he had such an amazing brain for things like that. I can well believe this, because I know just all the things that he knew, and just incredible memory.
And I think the privilege of going as a choir, and we used to go away for 10 days at a time sometimes, or every other weekend we'd be out. And all right, it was very intense, and but we were amazed at how the Lord used us, and but used us to start fellowship groups as well, didn't he? And you know, that was good. But I think that intensity of traveling and everything, which was well blessed by the Lord, has made our little choir to this day a very close-knit unit.
Oh, fantastic.
Carol and I have travelled this country and Ireland, going to fellowship groups, and Scotland. When we used to go away, we would be away for, I don't know, 3 or 4 days. And you go to a group and have fun with them and all the rest of it.
Perhaps I can say that our Torch fellowship groups that we delight in going to visit, and we have done for over a year. Well, we've been married for nearly 22 years now.
Yeah.
So that's been a lot of our weekends visiting Torch groups, and many more before that. But I think the difference, obviously, because of COVID, but the wonder is that those groups, many of them have still met via Zoom and things. And I think that's been absolutely incredible.
Yeah.
That fellowship, which is key.
Yeah.
To people in towns and cities, it is still going on. And some of our groups are starting up again now. And Brian and I have been to a couple already.
Yeah.
We've contributed on people's Zoom meetings as well, which has been a joy. And so that's great. And so, you know, our fellowship groups are great because they're meeting the real needs of blind and partially sighted people in their vicinities. And it's you know, isolation, fellowship and love and friendship and introducing Jesus to the center of everything as well.
And having fun.
Brian likes having fun.
The fellowship group that I ran in Liscard, it was paramount for us to have fun, I felt anyway. And we did too. Yeah. Including, I brought a busload up once to Hallerton, about 8 of them, and Mum and Dad Heath had allowed us to make our own pullovers with our own like insignia thing on them. And I said to the girls, "Right, would you come in and show Mum and Dad Heath?" And
they came. This Card Torch Fellowship group, it said.
They came in and did this kind of, and I was going, "Oh no!" Anyway,
it did get a smile out of Mr. Heath eventually, didn't it?
Yeah. I got to just continue a little bit. The following day, there was a very important meeting in London.
Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. Of course, in my mob, we went down and we were sitting in the front there and the torch choir sang. And we thought, hey, that's great. And we all went, yay. Gordon Temple was...
Well, more importantly, they started saying, more.
So Gordon Temple on the far side said, no, quite right. We said, no, more. Well, half of them were standing up, half were sitting down. You can imagine what the start of the thing was when they started, but they sang it again anyway. We got away with it.
I felt sorry for Gordon Temple. He was chairing the afternoon session, but he had Mr. Heath behind him, who was very much a clock watcher. And several people had gone on far too long in his mind already. And so to sing another choir piece again was Gordon had rods going down his neck from Mr. Heath, and he had the Cornish group saying, more. Anyway, all was well.
That's brilliant. I can just imagine that. Brian's group bringing the rowdy element in.
Yes, they did.
Oh, that's excellent. And I wondered, would you say, is there anything that you found challenging in your role at Torch over the years?
Of course, there's been difficult, challenging times. I think one of the areas, like when we were at residential in Hallerton, it was such a privilege. We used to have people come to us to stay with us because they needed help and care, but at the same time, they could support the work in some way. But they were there because they wanted to know the Lord more. But some people had quite difficult, damaged upbringings, which could be quite challenging at times, especially, you know, for those of us who were involved with praying and supporting and helping. And there were some challenging times in that. But I think in each situation over the years, there's been great triumph and great change in people's lives, which has just been a joy. And of course, we had times when the resources that we needed for daily living just didn't come in, and we had small allowances at that time, and if the monies didn't come in, we wouldn't have those allowances and things like that. And well, that's happened, I think, right until the Market Harbour days. There are times when the only occasionally, but there have been times when the staff couldn't have their pay for 1 month or something. But it just shows us who is the provider, doesn't it? And it meant for, I think, most of us that, all right, we didn't have what we thought was going to come in, but then we had the joy of seeing God provide in other ways, and we could help each other, which is great, isn't it? Well, so, I mean, there are challenging times, but those times cause growth, I think. Yeah.
One of the major differences that I found was in the old days, if things needed to be done, people who were doing just one kind of thing, they say, right, you come and do this. There was no differentiation between people. They would just do the job, whatever it was.
I can remember, actually, Brian, you having said that. Yeah. I mean, things weren't so technical in those days. No. So, you know, most of us could do a bit of everything. And my goodness, we had to at times.
Yeah.
And if there was a crisis in a department, we'd all down tools in our department and go and support to get that backlog done or whatever. And I can remember we called it the Russian Braille project. And we were sending thousands and thousands of volumes of the scriptures over to Russia, in Russian script, obviously. And what happened was that deadlines had to be made. And so we'd do our work in the mornings and the afternoons. And after tea, all the lounge in Hallerton was set up with a big table with all the piles of Braille sitting round, and for the whole evening we all went round and collated and made up the various volumes, because, you know, it wasn't done as it is now, book by book. Every page was done a thousand of one, a thousand of another, etc. And it had to be hand collated. I always remember the Russian Braille project. All of us, whether we could see or whether we couldn't, were going round and round this blooming table all night. But the job got done, that's how we were. I mean, Torch was all of our lives, I expect. And it was a joy.
Yeah. Oh, that's lovely, really. Everyone mucking in and getting it done.
That's it.
I like that. So I also wanted to ask, what particular changes? I mean, you've mentioned this a little bit already, but some of the big changes that stand out to you over the years, whether that's within your jobs or the technology or Torch itself.
I think, wonderfully, the basic principles of Torch are exactly the same, and that's what gives me the greatest joy. I mean, as we've said, things change, and it, you know, I'm not able to go into production now and help with the collating of Braille because it's all done by a computerized system, which I would be hopeless at. And, you know, I can't sort of do this, that and the other, but what I can do, I do. So our roles aren't quite so interchangeable these days. I mean, you have to remember in the Hallerton days, breakfast needed to be cooked, weekend meals needed to be cooked. And there were things that, you know, you went to Torch and you didn't have a skill base. Because of the demands that came upon you, you develop those skills, really, to a greater or lesser extent. No one was poisoned. But, you know, you used to be challenged outside your box, I think, in the older days. And we've got the skill base just to do our role these days. So that is a difference. But, yeah.
Yeah. Brian, any thoughts on big changes?
Oh, it's been enormous. The thinking, I'm not going to go too far into this, the thinking in Torch has been different over this last 10 or so years. That's altering, and there's a sunshine and a lot of stuff happening. I mean, we went to this coffee morning, didn't we, yesterday?
Yeah, we had a wonderful coffee
morning.
And
it was incredible.
Yesterday.
And laugh upon laugh and cheers and you were. It was really, really nice to be there. It was, and I met a lot of old friends, people I hadn't seen for years, and it was just good, just catching up.
Yeah, Torch has got such a rich heritage of the people that have worked for it.
Yeah,
the people that have worked there and everything, and there's so many people who are now retired but still long to be involved in, because Torch is our lives, really.
Yeah,
and. As Brian said, we had every month we have a coffee morning at Torch and invite all people in a certain catchment. And there were 30 people yesterday, and the majority of them were people that had, you know, really given to Torch over the years. Yeah. And there must have been hundreds and hundreds of years worth of people's help.
Yeah.
Represented yesterday.
Yeah.
It was great.
Carol, I realise we haven't really heard, how did you become a Christian? Had you grown up Christian, or please tell us?
Well, I'd grown up in a Christian family. I was adopted into a Christian family, and that's always been very special for me, that I was handpicked and chosen and plonked where I was. That's good. And so I'd always acknowledged God, believed in God, but I never really understood the personal sort of interaction with God. And I was privileged, really, to have my dad's sister had married in Canada and lived in the Rocky Mountains. And as a teenager, about 15, I think I was, late 15, 16, I went over and stayed with Joan and Nick and the family. and they were very openly Christian. And I can remember we went to a Bible camp, and these youngsters around the campfire were saying how Jesus was their friend and how special he was, etc., etc. And I thought, I've never experienced that. And so it was then really that I became a Christian. And then God was on the case, because when I got back to school, I was just about to start O-levels or A-levels, can't remember, 16. That'd be A-levels, wouldn't it? Anyway, yeah, there were the two subjects that I was taking, music and scripture, were lovely Christian teachers, and they must have been praying for me as well. And they introduced me to Girl Crusaders, and they were so shocked when I said, oh yes, I'd love to come, because not many 16-year-olds did want to go to what some people thought a stuffy old meeting, but that really helped me. And and then I applied for college. I actually went to London Bible College, and they said to me, we don't usually take people straight from school. So I said, okay. So they suggested I did a year out. And then in about return of post, they sent me a letter. They said, well, we've been praying about it, and we really think that you should come, you know, straight away to college. And they didn't know why, and I didn't know why, but God did. But because that was the window that helped me get introduced to Marilyn. Because if I'd have been a year later, there wouldn't have been the need for someone to share a house, et cetera, et cetera. So,
That's to be.
Yeah, so I've always looked back and seen God's hand on my life. Yeah. You don't always understand what's happening at the time, do you?
Oh, but, no, but then you look back and it makes sense.
Yes, I can honestly say that, you know, I've always known that torch has been my calling for my life. And you know, I don't get many of these things out, but I've just known torch was God's place for me, and for me to serve within torch. And as you know, that doesn't finish when you stop sort of working in the sense of salaried working. It continues, because you're never not torch, and your heart still goes for that. You know, you might not be able to do so much, but what you can still do things, and that's good.
Yeah, that's lovely. That's an ongoing bond, isn't it? That kind of
it is. And obviously the Lord has really taught me loads through torch. And I've been far from perfect in these matters. But I won't go into that either. But anyway, God is faithful, isn't he?
Tell me about it.
later. Yeah, but you know, God is good, and I've learned so much by seeing him at work in amazing situations. You know, healings and healing for people inside, and for provision for the work, so that you could go forward, etc., etc. There's so much, and lovely people that have just had such an impact on my life, and I'm just so grateful.
It's a beautiful testimony. Lovely. Thank you very much, both of you.
Thank you for listening to Torch Tales. We'll be back next month with another fantastic guest. If you enjoyed the show, be sure to like and subscribe to be notified of future episodes. And to find out more about anything to do with Torch Trust, including our fellowship groups across the UK, please get in touch. The number to call is 01858 438 260. Or you can email info@torchtrust.org. Or visit our website, torchtrust.org. Until next time, from me, Grace, and the Torch Tales team, goodbye and God bless.